What's up, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode 217 of the Kinda Funny Games Cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
Konnichiwa.
That was a new thing. That was okay.
I'm just stealing things from other people. They say things, I say things. You know what I mean? I thought about doing the Doki Doki, taking that from Jared. Didn't do it though. Tainted fruit, you know what I mean?
Tainted fruit. And as always, the busiest lady in the biz, Andrea Renee.
You can find her on
What's Good Games. You can find her on Twitter at Andrea Renee. Thank you very much for joining us.
I cut your intro off. I feel bad about it now.
You said what's good.
Can we start over? It's all jazz, man.
It's all jazz. No, Kevin can't take that.
No. And for the first time on this show, you might know him from Final Destination or Casper or Idle Hands or as Stan in the Eminem Stan video, Devin Sawa.
Woo! Hello, everybody.
Hello,
Devin. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me.
This is fun. Up here in San Francisco. Yeah. Talk about some video games.
Bring your chair up.
No, don't
bring the mic down. Bring the chair. Here, do this thing. Grab this guy. Do this thing.
You kind of really got to get up in there.
There you go.
Get intimate with
it. Yeah, there we go. We had you down. We weren't paying attention.
Nobody's.
It's just a show we're doing.
Glad to be here.
So we had you on earlier today recording
an episode of
We Have Cool Friends. It might not be the first episode.
I think it will be.
You think so?
Have you ever known us to ever think that far and future-proof and do... No, it'll be the first one.
The first ever episode of We Have Cool Friends.
And I also know how your mind works. We didn't have the walls you wanted,
so you're not going to punch the walls.
You're not going to have the walls and then no walls.
You're right.
Now I'm going to worry that someone's going to be better than me and be the first episode.
Am I actually bumped from We Have Cool Friends?
It's like I'm tuning in for the first one and The Rock is there. I'm like, ah!
God damn it!
Oh, man. So the first ever episode, it sounded like it was fantastic. You guys were recording. It looked like you had a fun time. Yeah. But that wasn't the reason you were here. The reason you were here is this show to talk about video games.
How I got here.
Don't say the game's name yet.
Yeah. So I got a strange direct message from Greg on Twitter saying this. Would you like to go to Montreal and test a video game? Yeah. So... That's what I did.
Yeah.
I went. There's a video game that I saw a preview for a few months before that, and I thought it was. It looked amazing. It looked like a really interesting.
We're gonna talk all about.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. Devin and I, Twitter friends. Obviously, he's on We Have Cool Friends. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's awesome about Devin is that he just loves games.
Yeah.
You talk to me about games all the time. Like you're one of our legit friends who's like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm super famous. Yeah, I'm jacked. Yeah, I kickbox, but yeah, I just like video games. You say it. I say
none of that.
He DMs me all the time. So yeah, I'm jacked.
Dude, I'm jacked. I like video games.
So I'm like, great, Devin. I'm in the middle of something.
Hey, Greg, I was just in the mirror. And the lighting in this one particular spot.
Do I look jacked? Because I feel jacked.
Yeah, man. You're looking jacked. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Cast each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. We get together, talk about video games, all the things that we love about them. You can get it here on YouTube or on roosterteeth.com or on podcast services. Just search for Kinda Funny Games Cast. And also, if you want to help this show grow, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames to support. You can get the show ad free. You also get to watch the show early, whether it's live as we record it or a couple of days before it posts for everyone on YouTube. This episode is brought to you by Upstart and Warby Parker. But we'll talk about that later. For now, I want to let you know about our Patreon producers. They are DJ Kento, James Davis, and James Hastings, the James double duo to rule them all. But now, Devin, I want to talk to you about the game that you got to go see in Montreal. So, Kev, you ready for this?
Already muted.
Ancestors.
Yes. I would like to.
We're not going to violate any embargoes. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah. So it's a game about evolution, and that's what first drew me to it. I saw the preview for it, and basically you start off as an ape, and you've got to you're evolving to man, and what it takes to get there. Beautiful graphics, really fun to play.
Is it too cerebral? Because that was the thing, right? The story to get you here and get to see the game started at Game Awards. Because at Game Awards, of course, Petris came out, the guy who started Assassin's Creed, or one of the people, obviously, who started Assassin's Creed, showed the trailer there.
Yeah.
And we were all like, it's 100 million years ago, and you're an ape, and you're going to go through 50 or 500,000 years of... And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I got to spend 2 hours with it, and the very first level... I wish just by the end of that 2 hours, I was finally learning to swing and learning that, you're supposed to, learn this and bring it.
Get
here
up on the mic, man. Don't be afraid.
Sorry. So by the end of the 2 hours, I was just figuring it out, and I was starting to get addicted to it. And I wanted more hours with it. but it's.
Were you the same ape the entire 2 hours? Or
yes.
Did it quick
well, you can switch. You can switch apes.
Oh, really?
You can switch. Okay. Once you've like, if you've been bitten by too many snakes or whatever. In the beginning, I was falling a lot and you know just getting used to it. So you can go back to your little village that you build, you can switch your apes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what does the gameplay shake out like? It's third person, obviously.
Yeah.
Is it, you're talking about building a village, are you, is it like...
You start off with your own little, there's a little camp built when you first wake up.
Okay.
You can expand that camp by learning, like you'll it gives you a little icon when you look out into the jungle, and there's like different things, and you learn about the thing you go up to, and you learn that new item, whatever it is. Like
sure.
It could be a rock where you break and now you have two things and one's a tool. You learn how to switch hands. You learn how to carry your baby on your back.
Sure.
All these different things are for learning to build beds, learning, you know, what water you can drink, what water you can't drink, what food could be, you know, dangerous. So yeah,
how do they show that with gameplay? Like, how do you know?
Well, you go up to and you press, I don't know, whatever A or B or whatever, and you can observe it, learn it, and then you know study it.
Can you kill the apes? Because like, if you have multiple, if I drink the bad water, does one of my apes
yes,
die?
Yes, you can die.
Oh, okay.
You can die from drinking the wrong stuff.
And is it game over, or do you restart that part?
I think you restart in the village again.
Yeah.
In your little camp. Or whatever it is,
a little ape camp.
Yeah, because it's a weird. It's a cool idea, but it's such a weird idea.
I didn't get far. I learned how to break the rock, and now all of a sudden, you know, you observe it, and it looks like it could be a tool. And I learned how to switch take the branches off the stick, and now I've got just a stick that's like a point. But I never got to the. I never had enough time to like actually go out and now use this as a. I'm assuming is going to be a spear, and I'm assuming this rock is going to do something. Like I didn't get. To that, but I was intrigued and I wanted, you know, I was ready to go on.
Did they talk about what happens after it all?
No,
like,
no.
So it's like the game's Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey.
Yeah.
Right now, initial release date set for 2019 on PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
$40.
$40. Okay, cool. So that kind of frames all of this a bit. So they let you play as the ape in these early sides of it. But so
I watched him, Patrice. I watched him play a little bit. First of all, he made it look real. I mean, he's the creator of the game, so he's swinging around these things.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're like a bag of shit.
I'm like, oh, this is gonna be easy. I get on there, fall, die. He was swinging around doing a lot of stuff, and he made it look. You know, I'm sure once you eventually get to that level, it's gonna be a blast.
How do they deal with relationships, right? Because they're not talking, right?
No. One of the things I did early on in the game is I started picking bugs out of the back of one of the other apes.
And
that was the first, I guess,
classic apes.
I learned to bond. That was like you see an icon and you go over there and that's your first time you learn to bond.
Interesting. Because I feel like environmental storytelling will have to be key to this, right? In terms of getting you involved.
Did you find it really engaging? Because even hearing you describe some of these things in the fast-paced world of modern video games, taking it way, way, way back on the evolutionary scale to like making a stick, it feels like it's setting itself up to be kind of a slow-paced game. Did you feel that way?
That's the only thing that I worried about. And I'd have to go on to play it a little bit more, but I was only worried about now, you know, we got games like, you know, Call of Duty and Battlefield and all this, and that's what the kids love and whatever else. Are we ready to you know, but it really is. It's interesting if you're into that kind of thing, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the way they've pitched it out is a survival game that's about exploring our own ancestry history, right? And it's what it's 10 million years ago in Africa. Explore, expand, evolve. Like there's something there. And I think the $40 price point, like you said, frames it in a real interesting way where I think they are coming out and being like, this is a weird game for people who want to get weird.
Well, it's definitely more than the excite. Like it's interesting. Like you'll do something when you finally break that rock and it's a tool and you're like, I know where this is going. Okay, I see. Like, you know what I mean? It kind of draws you in that way. So.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because I remember when the Game Awards, I think, debuted this, when this was happening, and you immediately tweeted.
I was like, I gotta see this.
If I remember correctly, you tweeted at Greg saying, you need
how
to
do
see
I get a copy of this?
I always,
what was it about seeing Ancestors that made you be like, I want to see that as opposed to something like Crash Team Racing?
I think the whole thought of evolution is something I'm into at this moment in my life. I'm fascinated with that whole thing. You know, where we, all the missing links we have and where we really started. And so.
Like Neanderthal man and how we got from that to to this?
Why, what made it come down from the tree? What made us stand upright? I mean, there's all, you know, all the different theories of, you know, it was because we were throwing, and that's why we, you know, our first stand. And
do you think this game's gonna cover that and like show that anyway?
I don't think so, but it covers you know, the basics.
Did they talk about this from a scientific or educational standpoint?
Yeah,
is it?
I think they're really trying to stay with facts. I think it's fact-based.
That's good.
Yeah.
Is there a fail state? Like, can you get a game over? Like, if you said your ape can die, is that a game over?
I don't know if you call it a game over, but I would if I died.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I go black, I would start back in the camp. So you know.
No, totally. Yeah, it's just one of those. Since they're pitching it as a survival game, I wasn't sure if it's like,
yeah,
you got unlimited apes in camp, and like, let's see.
In the stage that I was in, the only thing I had to worry about were warthogs and snakes, and apparently there's tigers and all. And as you go off, and your mind starts to, like, as you get too far, your mind starts the screen starts to get a little bit blurry because it's fear.
Oh,
because you haven't explored this area yet, so you've got to go slower and explore, and
that's where you're learning, where you're coming up to stuff. And watching it reminds me a little bit of like State of Decay, where you'd have to go up into the watchtowers, look out, and you see the question marks and see them, and then like, okay, now I know that's a house, and that's exactly it. That's really cool. So.
It's mechanically, are you mobile and agile? Like, are you swinging through trees?
Oh yeah,
stuff?
You go up the trees, you can go wherever you want and do whatever you want.
It's an open world game. It's just not a massive open world.
I don't know if it's massive, but it was pretty big in the first level that I was in. But you get to a certain point, and all of a sudden it gets all crazy because it's fear and you don't know and you haven't explored it.
Is there like a map for it? Or is like when we were watching footage back there, it looked like it's pretty clean in terms of...
No, there's a map. There's vital signs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird one.
It was cool. I had fun. I
did it live up to your expectations based on what you saw the first time?
Honestly, I'd need to play a little bit more.
Yeah.
In the first hour, I was like, oh God, I don't know. And then as soon as I started realizing, like, I was getting some, you know, from the makers, they were like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. And
sure.
Okay. And then it started like, okay, I get it. I see how this could be cool.
I feel like that's always the rule with survival games, right? Where it's like you get in there and like how does it all play together? What do I need to do? And it is about, you know, live, die, repeat, figure it out. What do you need to do? Yeah. Okay, make the weapon, go do the thing.
Yeah.
Breaking the rock and you seeing like, oh, I have these tools now. Like, did that seem a little too straightforward or?
No.
Okay.
I had to be told what to do. I mean, you have to figure stuff like that out. And then that's all you have. I just assume it's going to be a tool. You've broken the rock and now you've got this new knowledge. And so somewhere I got to find something else that's going to make me want to go back to the rock and, you know what I mean? I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Did you get into any combat scenarios?
No. That's what I was looking for. And
yeah, you want to fight something.
Well, that's
fight
the thing. Like my games are like, I whenever, you know, a new Call of Duty comes out, I don't go online or whatever. I just play the campaigns. You know what I mean? It's so easy.
it's so much easier to kill the AI than people.
Well, you can't go anywhere. You just go straight and shoot. You know what I mean? This game is going to take a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have any more questions about Ancestors, Greg?
I mean, you thought graphically it looked really good, you're saying?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Because even the footage we were watching him climb the tree, I was like, all right, this looks cool.
And, yeah,
like,
figuring and out swinging around and all that. It's in the drinking of the water, and there's a lot of details.
Are you killing the snakes and warthogs and eating them?
No, you can't kill them yet.
So you're just doing, like, what, berries and stuff?
Up the tree you go.
Oh, okay.
If you get got to run from the water.
If you get bitten by a snake, up the tree you go.
Yeah.
Run.
Have someone bond and suck it out of you.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, think of that. It could be a thing.
I don't know. Apes are that smart at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nowadays, they can do sign language and all sorts of shit. Ride horses.
Be smart apes, man.
Exactly.
Then what's up?
Exactly.
Apes aren't monkeys, right? I keep wanting to say monkeys.
Yeah, no,
they're different.
They're very different.
Different species.
Friends. No tails.
Are they friends? Apes and monkeys?
In Planet of the Apes,
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, I don't think so. Like,
they're not?
I have a feeling that like an ape will kill a monkey and eat it.
Yeah.
Smaller.
No, but apes aren't carnivores.
Some of them like can be cannibals sometimes, like chimps and stuff, to scare other chimps. It's mind games.
I love Kevin. You know what I mean?
Apes can be carnivores, can't they? Could they? I mean.
I think they.
Anything can be a carnivore.
But, like,
apes?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I believe they.
As you look it up,
she goes to Google. I'm not saying they're carnivores. I think they're omnivores. I think they eat both.
Mm.
They'll do what they need to survive.
If they see other people do it, they'll do it, though.
Just like
you see monkey do.
The diet of apes is similar to those of other primates. They eat fruit, nuts, seeds, leaves, and sometimes other animals.
Yeah. Hey! There we go, dude.
Monkeys, monkeys, monkeys with Kevin. I'm Kevin.
It's like, why as a vowel? Just sometimes.
But most of their intake is herbivorous.
So you ended this 2 hours positive. You want to play
more? Yeah, I'm going to play it again, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, moving on from ancestors, Kev, bring up the volume.
No, don't say the name of the game anymore.
Okay.
So now you, if it ever mentions again that you played the game, it's the game.
Okay, the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's start here, Devin. What have you been playing besides that game?
You know, I bought one of these.
Oh, this is a Nintendo Switch?
Switch it up, baby. Let's go.
So, they don't make a lot of adult games for this thing.
Justified Andrea is.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
We got Doom, right?
Yeah. And don't play Doom on this. What are you doing?
You got Diablo, Diablo 3, Eternal Collection.
But everything else is like Mario Kart and like bunny rabbits and
okay, here's the thing. Don't talk shit about the rabbits. And Mario Kart's fantastic.
I'm ready for them to start making a little more adult content.
Yeah, what did you buy with it?
Keep waiting, baby.
I don't remember. I have Doom. I have Mario Kart. I have some weird little... you're like a zombie and it's a box and you go to different level. I can't remember the name of it.
Zombie in a box.
I didn't play it.
Get Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Get Breath of the Wild. There you go.
Zelda. Played Legend of Zelda. Zelda.
I haven't played that yet. No.
That's
excellent. Really
that's
yeah.
an adult game.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes. It really is. It really is.
Yeah, for
Zelda
sure.
Zelda is?
Yeah.
All right. Look at hater ass hater over here.
100%.
Not Call of Duty. He doesn't
want to play. Is a game for everybody. It's not targeted towards a mature audience. It's targeted towards everybody. Yeah. But I understand what you're saying, that the mature market game for Switch is lacking, to say the least.
Yes. Yes. I wouldn't mind some more Battlefields or Call of Duty.
That's not what this is for. That's for the PlayStation 4, the Xbox.
If I got to be on a 6-hour flight, I would love to play.
Did you get Diablo?
I didn't get Diablo, no.
I think you would enjoy
that. I will get it.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing on all my flights, because it's such a long RPG that you can really spend a lot of time in. Mm. And it scratches that combat itch, and it feels more... Obviously, I don't think Diablo is an M-rated game, right?
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I thought it was
Diablo 2 was, at least.
Worth looking up, but
I'm on it.
That game is good. I'm trying to think of what else they've released third party that would can be considered more like...
Wolfenstein.
Is that out? When did that come out?
Is it not out?
It's rated M.
It has to be out, really, right? Diablo 3 is rated M?
Yep. No, Wolfenstein's not out. Isn't
really?
They're waiting for the DLC, right? The Youngbloods?
Yeah, I thought they pushed, like it. I thought they pushed it back.
Okay, my apologies.
Hmm. I bought Street Fighter, the original on that.
Okay,
awesome. Fair. That's fun to just... You know, play for 10 minutes and realize
Mortal Kombat's coming.
No, it's not tough. It's just like, okay, you know, it reminded me of Grey. Yeah, well, now I'm back.
Mortal Kombat 11 is out in like 2 weeks for Switch.
Yeah.
That'll be good. Mm. That is an adult ass game.
Yes.
Lots of blood. What?
Blood doesn't, your head. Blood doesn't equal adult. All right. You know what I mean?
It's gratuitous
Super Mario
violence.
Odyssey is a better game than any of the bullshit we're talking about here. Goddamn.
I played it for a while.
You haven't even played Mortal Kombat 11 yet.
Yeah, I don't need to. I guarantee Mario Odyssey is better than Mortal Kombat 11.
Different games.
Better.
Apples and oranges.
Yeah, okay. I'm very much looking forward to Mortal Kombat 11 coming out. I was originally going to play it on the Switch. I think it's graduated to a home console experience for me.
Yeah.
Well, that's such a visual delight, right, of watching ribs get broken and balls get ripped out.
But I don't care too much about that. It's just like, I feel like NetherRealm has earned their keep when it comes to the single player experience. Right? What was once for me, like, oh, this is going to be a fun playing thing. I'm like, you know what? Nah. I want to experience this the right way. Give me a 65-inch TV. Let's go, baby.
Are they doing Rage 2 on Switch?
No.
I would guess not, because it's open world.
Yeah.
And it's id and Avalanche, but...
There's rumors of Borderlands 2 getting ported over, right? Isn't that?
2?
Yeah. That would be good.
To Switch?
Yeah.
Bayonetta 3? I'm holding out hope for that.
Eventually. So last I have is a Nintendo Live February 2019 that id Software and Bethesda are still investigating if Rage 2 would be possible on Switch.
Got it. Investigating.
Mm-hmm.
That could be cool. So what else have you been playing on the Switch?
Those are it. That's it.
Yeah, okay.
And
we got to get you educated, man. We got to get you some good experiences here, because there's a lot of this,
you know,
thing,
I put it in a drawer. I when it first, well, 2 years ago, year and a half ago?
Yeah.
It was spring. 2017.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
And I just, I bought a few games for it and then realized I wasn't into it and put it in a drawer. And that was it. Didn't go back to it.
It's like me and the Vita.
All right. First off,
what's the Vita?
Curse your tongue. First off, good. That's a
solid question.
Vita is what came and made this thing possible, all right? It died for the Switch's sins.
The old PlayStation handle.
Yeah, exactly.
I had that too.
Yeah?
I had that too.
Greg.
That's older, though. That's
a
like
lot of people.
The Vita's older.
Yeah. It came out in, what, 2011?
That might
sounds right.
Yeah. I'm not the date guy. I never was. I was always just like, I enjoy this, yes.
Off the Switch, though, what have you been playing?
Off the Switch?
Instead of the Switch. PlayStation, Xbox.
Just Call of Duty, the last Call of Duty.
You playing Blackout, the Battle Royale mode?
No, the one, the World War II one.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sledgehammer.
Well, no, I knew it was old when I bought it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I don't really
what do you care?
But yeah, the graphics on that one are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also the Battlefield World War II one, I think.
Okay.
Battlefield 5?
Is that it?
Yeah, that's with the war stories and all that stuff.
I love those games. I love the campaigns on them.
And they do a lot of updates. I just got an email about another update they're doing for Battlefield 5.
I'm the type of gamer that I don't play enough that when I do go to play, I've got about an hour and a half of updates before I can actually
sucks.
Play.
I'm with you, man.
So then I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Greg,
yeah.
Speaking of the Switch and cool games, adult games, if you will.
Oh, Katana Zero.
Katana Zero.
Barrett played it and beat it too. He's like, I think I'm right there. I have like one more VHS tape to do and stuff. But yeah, me and Barrett have put a lot of time into this guy.
Can I bring up Katana Zero, please?
This is a samurai?
I'm going to be perfectly honest. I don't really know much about what Katana Zero is.
Perfect. Okay, so it was shown at the Nindies event at GDC. And mm-hmm. showed during the Nindies showcase at GDC. 2D side scroller deal, right? Where you're going through and are this ninja, right? It's like, what was it?
Like shinobi style kind of thing?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I don't want to say cyberpunk, right? But it's that neo noir, like neo Tokyo kind of look to it. Beautiful. If Andy was to go make a game, he would use his color palette, obviously, and it would be those.
Oh, yeah, this
neons.
Is dope.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Look how good is this?
And this is what you're talking about, too, right? You want an adult game for your Switch, right? This is, you are an assassin, and you are going through with your blade to kill all sorts of different people. As you were watching right now, or if you're listening, I can explain. You're seeing basically go to black and white here as you go through. Every time you go into a new area and you start playing, if you fail, he'll go, no, that wouldn't work. Because the idea is that he's running through it in his head before he goes off and does it, right? And you have time rewind powers, and you can see into the future based on the drugs you're on. You see the blood, you see the stuff getting cut down. This is a basic level. As you progress, right, like it's a one hit kill for you, one hit kill for your enemies. People will shoot at you. You can slow down time and then use your samurai blade and knock the bullets back at them to kill them. You have this dodge roll that you were seeing as they go through lasers here. Boom, you get to go through stuff that way. Up here in the top left, you see the left trigger, which is the little bar. That's the amount of time you can slow down. You can. It's 2D, obviously, and side-scrolling, but it's got a Hotline Miami feel to it, right? Of, like, you pick up items that you'll hold in your other... It says B on this screen for me. It's, A on Switch, where I'll be able to run through and fight guys, but then throw something at another guy.
Lantern.
Exactly. They have a lot of, like, statue heads and stuff like that in there and stuff. Yeah. I played it the entire way out to New York. So, 4.5 hours or whatever, and that got me to, I think, the penultimate level, right? We were talking before.
Right.
I have room for one more tape in there or whatever.
This is a Switch game?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How long did it take you, Barrett?
I don't know. I remember playing... I played it almost in one sitting on, like, Saturday when we were porty sitting. And so, time did not... Like, time was... like a thing of an imagination when I was playing this game. So I was really digging it.
You loved it, right?
I loved it, and it's definitely like up there for games I've played so far this year. I love the story in it, and like the way they explain like the whole like obviously with these types of games, like when you die and you go back, like you have games like that with Super Meat Boy and Celeste and stuff of like, oh, you have to go back. But they actually work that into the story and what's happening to your character.
Yeah. Remember when they showed it during the Nindies Direct presentation, it was, hey, yeah, the gameplay is cool. But then there's this also thing where you're talking to a therapist and making word choices. So as you start playing, you get pretty quickly understand that there's more happening than you're just a regular hitman, and how does that all play into it? And then you go home and you start developing relationships with people outside of your house, which then obviously get in. So they're trying to tell a real like narrative here.
Yeah.
And like they do a really cool stuff. Again, you're rewinding time based on the drugs you're on. There's a really, really, really cool scene where this is a little bit of spoilers, but it's not like the story is like that. But like for me, it was, you've seen this other guy. He eventually captures you and puts you on a chair, right? And he keeps killing you. But then you keep rewinding time to beforehand and you start using the things he was saying, like, you know, when he reveals that he has a date or he's late for. So then you say that before he says it, and then and he's like, wait, how do you, whatever, bam, shoots you. And like, you start getting more and more tidbits to piece it together before he figures out what's going on. And like, you're like, this is a cool drug and it's a cool idea and it's a cool story element for why you can rewind time.
How does that work though? Like, if you, is it choice based of like, you need to remember the things that they
no,
said?
No, you'll see the dialogue options are all there. And like, you can,
they're pretty easy. Like,
if you keep going, yes, you're not going to move the plot along, but you see the new option pop up. Like, what about your date? Or what about this guy you just mentioned? And you select that. And the guy's like, wait, what the fuck? And then it gives you more information to say the next time and the next time and the next time, to then finally get into the boss fight you need to move on.
Right. The gameplay is super fun. The story they're presenting here, like, I could see this being a really cool, like, 2019 neo-noir, like, type of movie, like, what they're presenting. I don't want to say too much because I think it's a type of story you should kind of experience firsthand. But, super into it. And this was something, like, I did not know anything about the game before playing it. So it was really cool to go in fresh, and because I don't really remember the Ninnies event. So I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember this game.
Yeah.
Did not expect to be as into it as I was.
Yeah.
Did you play Messenger and Celeste?
I did not play Messenger. Celeste is a fantastic game that I love.
How do you think it compares?
I don't, like, to Celeste. Celeste is a hard one because that one is so personal to me and like what that story is. And I think the kind of the challenging part of Celeste is also like what makes it so great. I think there are definitely some levels in here that are laid out in a challenging way.
Yeah, but they're not crushing like Celeste.
No, they're not super crushing, so I don't think it has that appeal of being like super challenging or anything. There's definitely like
if I can cut you off. Yeah. There was like one, there's a couple, what they do, like, because again, like, the it's out April 18th. That's when the review embargo for Scored embargoes post. We're allowed to talk, but there's like a little bit we can't go past in terms of showing anything. I think from the one knock I had when we were talking about it, when you're like, oh, I loved it, I was like, oh, I really liked it, but I think I had really high expectations coming off the Nindy Direct. Still love it, still think it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah,
it's just early on, I feel like you get everything. Like, you have, like, it's not like you're going, like, you're talking about Messenger, where Messenger kept changing, right? And I feel like a lot of the games we play, here's a new ability 30 minutes in, 15 minutes, or, you know, hours later, that gives you something new to do. Whereas this one, you pretty much have it all down from the beginning. So where it starts getting interesting gameplay-wise and challenging is, cool, here's a room of four different guys, and one of them's just a brawler, one of them has a one-shot gun, the other has a shotgun that you can't reflect back because it's too many pellets, and the other guy is one of the other swordsmen where you can hit his blade, that'll stun him, but you have to then get back to kill him. And it's like, now it's this game of, who am I waiting for to get close to hit with the door like Hotline Miami to then roll in to kill that guy to do this? And like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you have to start like actually.
It is very. Management. It does remind me a little bit of Celeste in that sense as well. Where like Celeste, you pretty much until the end game, you pretty much have everything in your arsenal for the entire game.
Every chapter gives you a new ability.
Well, every chapter has like a different like thing in the level design that you have to go around with, but like the abilities in Celeste were really just jump and dash.
Right, and most of the levels in Celeste had only one set path to get through. Like, you had to jump in this particular pattern, and it was about nailing the pattern and not like choosing your path, right? Mm-hmm.
But like the thing that it reminded me of was like, yeah, you get all your abilities pretty early on, and then it's up to you to kind of, when you're presented with the layout of a new level of like, okay, how do I use just the two things that I have to kind of figure this out and navigate throughout?
Yeah,
that's really enticing me. That sounds awesome, because one, probably my only real critique of Celeste is I feel that the later levels are way more fun than the early levels because you have all the abilities, and going back after to do the B-sides isn't as fun because like I want my double jump. I want my things that I'm used to having, and when you don't have them, it kind of feels a little bit empty. Mm-hmm. So I like this idea that you just kind of have everything, and it's less about like the enhancing your abilities and more about using the room and the skills.
What's interesting about it is I feel too, for me, with the 4.5 hours just playing straight, I got into a rut of, oh, this is how I do it, and I run through blah, blah, blah. I was trying to beat it in between shows today so that I would just be done with it and have like, oh, I did beat it, blah, blah. I didn't make it through just because it's been a busy day. And but what I noticed is jumping in, you know how you come back to a game after a while, like, wait, what the fuck, blah, blah. I started playing it different and way more dodge rolling than I was before. And dodge rolling, I was like, oh, this is actually easier than it was the way I was doing it before, and it's maybe even more fun now because I am rolling through people's legs when they're shooting. I thought for a long when I was playing before, I was very much like run into the room, freeze, and then. Whereas this, it is like. Door open, roll, get behind the other guy. Oh, fuck, yeah. Stab him. You know what I mean? Like, keep
yeah, because it wasn't until like halfway through the game is when I started using a lot of the slowdown time. Like, yeah.
And that was the other thing, too, is the game, like, in the, I guess that, you know, I mean, it's an interesting as we talk about it. Like, you have all the stuff, but then levels make you use it in different fashion.
Right.
And that was like, and they do a good job of, like, you think you got down a shotgun guy. Okay. You think that now there's a turret. Now there's this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited for people to get their hands on this and for more people to kind of beat it because I have a lot of questions about.
Save all your spoiler stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in the end where I have questions about. And I can't wait to, you know, not be one of the few people who've gone through because. It's so cool, and I need people to talk about it with.
Yeah,
so.
Really stunning visually, as we've said from the beginning. The gameplay is fun. Yeah. I think when you and I talked about it in New York, I think I was more like, yeah, it was fun, but I use all stuff and blah. And then today playing it, I was like, man, I got to get back to this. Like, reawakened it.
I was a little bummed out because I was really looking forward to this game. And when we were flying to New York, I was planning on playing it the whole way as well.
Yeah.
But then I... It's like a Smash Brothers. Gotta get an update for everyone. You can all hold your applause, but I do, in fact, have all 1,303
spirits. Yeah. Oh, he deserves it.
I did it.
That's an impressive finally. Feat.
Yeah, it's impressive. Was it worth it?
No.
What did it cost you?
It cost me everything, Greg. Sure. Everything. Yeah, no. So instead, I wasted my time doing that. But then afterwards, I was like, oh, Greg, how is it? And you didn't seem super up on it.
We were coming off the plane, yeah, and I think it was just the tiredness of being on a plane for a while mixed with the fact of just like, trying to juggle your ideas, being cramped into a thing and playing it or whatever. I think I had such high expectations coming into it from what we saw. I was like, oh man, did it meet him? And then taking time off and coming back to it, I'm like, oh no, it did. Like this is really well done. And I really do like it. And I think it is like you're talking about an adult Switch game, right? Like of like here is a game that is not like I think it's wrestling with issues in a good. You know, you're talking about the story, and there is so much stuff with. This therapist you're talking to and how much do you want to share? And like, you know, we're talking about the dialogue choices. That's in everything. You know how in like games, you know, you sit there and you wait for the dialogue to pop up, but you can hit the button to make it all pop up. If you hit the button here, it's not you skipping the dialogue for the most part. It's you choosing the option of just like fucking stop talking to me, which actually changes what they do or how they share or what they say to you.
Yeah.
So like that's there is really a thing cool. there. Yeah. So it's actually, it's
I've
a game.
Seen that.
It's a game that's actually really enticing you to sit there and let it all pop up. It's doing something that I don't feel, and this is not obviously Celeste, but doing something I think a lot of side scrolling platformers, whatever you want to call them, don't do that much of like, no, we have really engaging gameplay and we're trying to tell you a very specific story. Yeah. Well, everybody tries to tell you a story, but like you're engaging and you're going to change the way people want to talk to you or interact with you if you skip this. That's cool.
Yeah.
What if you die and go back? Do you have to go through the...
Then they give you shortcuts. When you do that, when you have to do dialogue again, right? That was the thing.
That's the only reason like, I would ever fast forward through a
you've seen
a
it before.
Line. I've seen it already.
Yeah, this one, if memory serves, if you die and have to see a conversation again, it pops up pretty quick. No?
So it might pop up quicker. I just remember replaying like the first couple of levels again. I think the second guy you have to go after, like if you if you go through and like choose an option really quickly and then die and then have to go and do the level all over again, if you go to that guy again and let's say I did like the fuck you, like I just want to kill you right now, don't get another
option. The
guy
option. At the balcony edge?
Yeah.
I could have sworn I did die in that level and come back and then he went faster.
He did go faster, but I didn't even get a choice to say anything else to him.
Oh, right, yeah, because you're locked into what you said.
Right.
Yeah, I think that plays to what he's saying. He just doesn't want to like... Yeah. Like if you've made your choice and you die and you come back to it, yeah, it's going to throw you back to where you were rather than make you do it again. Okay,
right.
Cool. We're on the same page.
Last thing I'll say, I decided to become an adult this morning and applied for a credit card at my bank. And
good for you.
Thank you.
Look at him growing up before our eyes, guys.
And last time I was at my bank, I was at IGN, and so I was updating information. The guy who was helping me was like, oh, did you really work at IGN? I was like, yeah. And I'm with Kind of Funny Now. I pimped out my shirt. And he was asking me, like, oh, what are the games that, like, I have a Switch? Like, what should I play? And I was like, all right, Ape Out. And then before I left, I was like, there's a game coming out in a week, Katana Zero. I wrote down for it. Nice. Wrote that down for him.
Yeah, because you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I like it. I think
what was the other one? Ape Out.
Ape Out. Oh, yeah. Ape Out's a good one. Yeah,
that's a good one.
You like these monkey games. You'll like this.
I love a good monkey game. Oh, yeah.
You'll like this
actually,
one.
Kev, can you pull up Ape Out?
I'm on it.
Yeah, I want to show him because like, Ape Out's a very special game, very unique, and it uses jazz music and kind of just like fun, procedurally generated gameplay.
If you don't know Ape Out, at least I'm going to play Ape Out.
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, as you kill them, it's making the music actually play. Like you're making the jazz cymbals pop as you kill these guys.
Audio design by Matt Bach.
Fantastic.
Formerly of Harmonix. Actually, I think he's still there.
So, wow. Where has this been?
It's a Devolver game just like Katana Zero.
It just came out a couple weeks ago.
Fucked up shit for you. Because that's what Devolver does.
It also comes this week, Cuphead.
That's for Switch.
Which I know we've been talking about a lot, but Cuphead on Switch.
Yeah.
Cuphead on Switch. Hell yeah.
And that's another thing I can't get away from. I want to play Katana Zero, but I'm like, got to get my scores up, though.
You should bust out Katana Zero, right? It's not that
just
long.
Do it.
Like you said, four and a half hours, five hours.
I want to. It's just, you know.
Just let me be the one who beat Cuphead three times.
And Barrett has to keep one-upping me.
Yeah. Listen, Barrett, as somebody who also, Tim has done this too, I feel your pain because he deliberately went into Amplitude and looked at all my high scores and said,
and beat them.
It's my mission to take Andrea down.
Yeah.
And so, I did.
Yeah, we both beat it twice, our second time on Switch, but then I also had a save on PC, so I went through my PC and beat him there. So there you go. Damn. Fuck you, Tim.
Someday I'll get my scores back up.
Which one?
The game Cuphead?
No.
Kevin.
I'm on it.
Bring up some Cuphead.
This is us sell Devin Sawa Switch games.
Well, no, because that's the thing. So Cuphead's coming to Switch, and I really want to push it as much as possible because I want people to buy it because I want more resources being put towards Cuphead. This game. It's
beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's hand animated. And the idea is it's like a 30s game, like a Felix the Cat looking. That's just a song. Actually,
yeah, you picked the one that's just the soundtrack.
but it's in the style of these old animations.
Just pick that IGN
that's
video.
Cool. And is it Switch too? Oh, it's great.
It's pretty much just boss fights, and it's brutally hard. Super challenging.
I don't
want
to
just do it over and
that's
over.
That's where they lost it. Oh, no.
There's a simple normal mode.
Yeah.
But even the normal mode is really challenging.
Idiot mode.
Yeah, it's
that looks pretty hard.
It's super cool though, and it's super fun, and it is one of the best
cool to look at.
Really good game.
Yeah, it's really really cool to look at. If you don't want to play it, just watch YouTube videos because it's worth watching.
And the music is really well done.
Yeah, the whole package is just very very tight.
Hello, congratulations by the way.
The newlywed Demetrius Newell.
Gifted Dim 63. All right. So this is what I screwed up. And now I got to fill this out to fix it. Is that what I do? Okay. This is Devin. Devin,
hey,
this is
doing,
Gifted
man?
Dim.
It was a pleasure to meet you.
All right. So I performed the ceremony under religious domination of any, which I didn't, but now I will write in this one. American Marriage Ministry. You can keep going with the show.
I remember when I filled that sheet out, they very specifically were like, you have to
congratulations.
Put it in the box. You can't like scribble over.
Mm.
They got very mad.
Did this officially make it official?
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah. It didn't the first time.
Yeah. And then make your marriage certificate into a PDF because you're going to have to give it to a lot of people.
Exactly. Especially in the military, too, because I got to pass it in and get ID cards for her and all this.
Oh,
thank
you for your service.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, really cool stuff. Falcon Age, Andrea.
Yeah,
that's a video game
Falcon
that you've been
Age.
Playing.
So this is a game from Outer Loop Games. Full disclosure that my cats are in the game. So Eka had asked me, one of the developers on the game, he's like, do you want to get a photo of your pet in the game? And I was like, yes, I do. So if you can find them, they're hidden somewhere in the game. But I tried it on PSVR because this is a game that was built for virtual reality. But of course, you can play it just on your PS4 as well. And you play this young girl who's in prison. And in her cell, there's a window, and at the very beginning of a game, there's a bird's nest, and there's a falcon there, and there's a little baby falcon. And the mama bird gets killed by this robot, like, guard. And then you have to, then the little baby bird falls into your cell, and you essentially, like, become friends with it. You have to take care of it, and you feed it.
It's like Once Upon a Forest.
I never played that.
No, it's a movie.
Oh, a movie? Okay.
Yeah, classic.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's fantastic.
And so the idea is that you have to break out of your prison cell. And that you want to take the bird with you. And there's no humans in this prison. It's just all robots, like automated guards. And I'm not far enough along in this. And it's a short game, but I'm not far enough along in the story to know kind of like what happens. But essentially, you're trying to like overthrow these robot overlords. Yes, so this is the bird. That's the girl that you play as. And you can feed your bird. You can fist bump your bird. There's a special hat that you can wear that makes it appear as the baby bird all the time. So there's a lot of different costume pieces that you can get for your bird, which is kind of fun. You can send your bird out to hunt stuff, and then it'll bring back, little chunks of meat for you, and you can cook treats for it. But it's a cute little story. I am not like super clear on like what the overall narrative is of the game, mostly because I'm just obsessed with how cute the bird is.
That's what made Falcon Age spring to prominence, right? Mm-hmm. Was that when Echo started putting out the gifs of the bird and the bird dancing on your arm and the fist bumping, it was the bird that stole the show, and why right. that was, I think people started sharing and gifing so much of it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But I'm really glad that they added a non-combat mode, because when they were showing the game at a lot of trade shows, they got feedback from parents with kids who were like, oh, my kid wants to play this game, but we don't want to have any combat in it. So they made this exploration mode where you can just kind of head out with your bird and,
sure.
you know.
Bird it up.
Do everything, yeah, where combat is optional. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wing it.
Yeah, yeah. Just wing it. Good job, Tim. Good
yeah,
job.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Falcony, sorry I'm joining late. Had I finished no, yeah, this marriage okay. I screwed up or whatever.
Just marrying people over here.
How many are you going to do that to?
I filled out the same way I filled out everybody else's application, and they're all married, and then San Francisco wants to bust my balls on a Thursday.
Wait, do you have some sort of marriage license?
Yeah, yeah.
You do.
You know, it's on the internet. You can bloop, and there you go. You're a minister. Great, cool. Thanks. Wow. Apparently now I have to put in a denomination, which is not true, but whatever. I don't want to argue. I wasn't there. I would have given that city clerk a piece of my mind. I digress. Falcon Age. For disclosure, Portillo's in the game too, on the wall over there as a pet, but also that Pop Agenda, they represented it for brand management and PR stuff. I've talked about Falcon Age on the show before. It's the one where I went at DICE and played it and did it in VR and then a little bit in holding a controller, playing on a TV mode, and was really into it when I played it. Stick with me. We're about to go on a ride.
Uh-oh.
Falcon Age dropped, right? These codes for us dropped. And I was like, okay, great. It was when we were in New York I got mine. So coming back, Jen hadn't been home for 2 weeks or whatever. So I had played it in VR and really dug it in VR, but then had gotten the taste of playing it on a TV with the controller at the end of my demo. So I was like, I know you can play it both ways, and I already kind of know the experience in VR. I'm just going to play it on the TV so that I can actually see Jen and talk to her now that she's home, not be lost in a world like, good to see you again, babe. Pwah, pwah. You know, I'd just be gone and like sitting there with my move wands doing all this stuff. I played that first night in non-VR, so I played it on the TV, and I was crestfallen. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, I'm just not having a good time. I started taking notes, right, of like my problems with it. It's not a huge map, but... It's the environment is big, right? Like you're in these, you know, canals, I guess. So it's more like Grand Canyon-y stuff. Like you're all over there. And I remember saying in my notes here, right, of just like, I didn't feel like I was being rewarded for exploring because I was like moving around.
The pathing is very much designed for virtual reality right. control schemes.
Yep.
Steimer was talking about this too on our episode of What's Good, is that she's playing it on PS4 and I'm playing it in PSVR. And have you played a virtual reality game before? So the way that the controls work in order to prevent motion sickness while you're in the headset is right. that it's like a teleporting system. Some games do have like fluid free motion, walk, yeah. but I prefer the teleporting. So you're kind of moving forward like chunks at a time
right.
instead of just moving like you normally would in a game to prevent yourself from getting nauseous.
Right.
And because of that, it's clear that when you're not in the VR headset, they didn't quite connect or change the locomotion. Yep. And so the pathing in the regular world feels very barren.
And that was the thing of like, I was like, you go up walkways and like staircases without stairs, but walkways. And there'd be time coming down where I felt like I was perfectly straight, but I guess I was a little bit off and you'd stop. And it'd be like this awkward thing of like, oh crap, move. And then go down. And it's like, it was just little shit that you got to experience. And then like moving my head up and down felt not janky, but like it was like a little more rigid than it feels like to move your head in a game with sticks.
Is that the game or is it they not mastered the virtual reality?
No, it's the opposite where they mastered the VR. This is me playing the game, and what Andrea's saying of this okay. is clearly a game that is, they can go both ways, obviously, but it was made
designed
for VR.
For virtual
and
reality.
And so, like, it's the same thing, too, of like Firewatch. Remember how there was no HUD? It was like you had to bring, or no mini map. You brought up your map to look at, right? Like your piece of paper. I'm playing on the controller, and that's how they do Falcon Age 2, where you have to bring out your map. And it was this weird thing of like bringing it out, okay, then moving, and be like, wait, where was I bringing it back up? And I'm like, I don't feel empowered. This isn't good. There's no fast travel, so like you're just running, and I was like, ugh, blah, blah, blah. The next day, we were here actually, and I put it on and I picked up the sticks, and it was night and day of just like, oh, right, this is the way to play this game. I still think, like, my problem when I was going to bed after playing it on TV was like, this just feels like a basic game. And I like, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, we know Eka, and I know how much we worked on the game, and I was like, it feels not, it's something, the head movement, the running into the walls, the fact that why isn't there fast travel? playing it in VR, it was like, okay, this is where it was meant to be. This is where the problems I'm having with it playing on a TV, I'm not having here. No, fast travel doesn't matter when you're teleporting with the move wand. When I'm pointing and I'm going, boom, boom, boom. Suddenly it wasn't a chore I felt to navigate the world. When my whole view is the world, obviously, and I turn my head any way I want to, holding a map in one hand and glancing at it and then walking, and if I have to, looking at it again, is way easier than it is with a controller having it in my face and I'm trying to walk around, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I commend them for having a non-VR mode in there for the people who don't have VR.
That's a question I have is, do you think that it's a detriment to it that it has a mode that it sounds like isn't good compared to the core game, which is VR?
I don't think it's a detriment. That's my thing. You say, is it a detriment? No, because the VR game is still the VR game, and it is good. It is fun to play, right? It's more interesting to run around, play, explore. Like, even using the bird, I felt was just a better experience that way. Because to Andrea's point, like, there's, you know, you can send it up to attack. There's satchels that are, like, hanging from walls that are, like, the hidden things you send the bird up to go get and do, and you feel more into it. It's another way to experience. I think it's the lesser way.
Is there anything it does better than the VR mode?
No, probably not. Yeah.
But so then that's things like, then I feel like that is a detriment where it's like...
Well, detriment means it's taking away from the VR mode. It's not taking away from the VR mode, right?
But it's taking away from the overall product, I would imagine.
Sure, okay, like, sure. That's fair that people are buying the game playing.
I see what Tim is getting at. Yeah, I think that there's certainly room for improvement in the PS4 version of the game. I absolutely understand why they put it out. If anything, it's like maybe like a sales piece to get PSVR and say, you know, do you really want to experience this game? And it's... You know, in its best form, tried in PlayStation VR, but I was hoping that it was going to be, you know, a little bit more polished for the PS4 version. But I think it's also important to remember this is not a $60 game; it's $19.99. It's a very small indie team,
So
I think it's important to also like manage expectations for what you're expecting from this game.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder,
it needs more polish for sure. Absolutely.
If it was just like, it's a $20 game, it's a VR game. That's what it is. That's where it's best.
And that's the thing is, I don't know how much, I remember when I found out it wasn't just VR. It was like, oh, I didn't know that. And I don't know if that is a huge selling point. And to your point, I don't think it takes away from the game, the VR version of the game. But I do understand what you're saying of that people are going to, like, you know, IGN gave it an 8, right? And I've seen 7s and 7.5s going around. Somebody's going to buy it. Maybe and not think that, oh, this was reviewed as a VR game, right? And play it as the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, what do people, why? I'm not in this experience. I'm not feeling it the same way. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even in VR, like, I mean, basic, it's a weird thing to say, right? Even in VR, it's okay. This is fun and I'm enjoying it and it was cool. It's an easy platinum, which I, of course, am all about. Like, I got that. You know what I mean? I had a great time. But, like, yeah, it didn't blow my hair back. I had fun in it, and I enjoyed it, and I liked the ride. But, like, my big thing, you know, I know when we've talked about Tim in the past year, like, with reviews, right, and how do we handle that, and what do we do? And people have been like, well, you know, like, money means so much to us in terms of how much, of course, this game was sent to us by, Pop Agenda, and Falcon Age team, right? Like, for me personally, my endorsement of it would be, like, I would wait for it to come down in price. Even at $20, I think you could wait for a sale and get it that way and have that experience from it. It's a quality experience. It was fun, but yeah, it was a night for me with like a little bit of cleanup later.
A night for platinum?
A night with cleanup. Like, so it would have been probably a night and then what? Another 2 hours, 3 hours, maybe the next night or whatever. But it's beautiful. It's pretty. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I think it does a lot of cool things with VR in terms of pointing and going.
I vividly remember this moment where I sat back on my couch and just kind of tipped my head all the way back with the headset on and just like watched the bird like just like fly around up in the sky and like it just really reminds you that this is like what VR can do, what the future and the promise of virtual reality. So I would encourage people who do have a PSVR headset that this game is a good showpiece for that, and it's a much better game in VR than not.
Yeah, for me, and that was what I was trying to think about, you know what I mean? Because obviously these conversations about reviews and how we frame our coverage of games we've completed and want to talk about. For me, it was the thing, I think I would wait for it to come down in price. But again, it's the technical aspect of it, of like, it's a cool VR game. I do like it. I like, you know, we filmed when Eka came through for GDC, we did a conversation about why he and his team have made so many PlayStation VR games and talked about it that way. That's the way it'll be on the PlayStation VR show going forward. I don't think it would be on my short list of PlayStation VR titles that I would be like, you got a PlayStation VR? pick this up. Not taking anything away from it. It's, again, a good game. I'd be in the sevens if I was reviewing it, you know, this, that, or the other. But yeah, that's where I came down with it. I was like, all right, cool. That was a cool experience. But I feel like we've gotten so far past that. And that's what I was... I need to go back and reread a lot of the reviews, because I know some people were talking about really connecting with the story and, you know, the colonizers and all this stuff. I felt like... I don't feel like I missed anything. And it's like that thing of like, I didn't get that. Especially, I'll be interested when you beat it, of like some of the ways they introduce some of the characters at the end and what they do. It's just like, okay, cool. Like, this is, there's a lot of interesting ideas. And again, yeah, the bird is really cool to have and send out to do stuff. It's, I'm looking forward to, I hope they do come back to it. I hope they do more with it, whether it's a Falcon Age 2 or some kind of DLC that takes all the feedback in. Because there's really something cool there. The bird is really engaging. Giving all the different outfits and stuff are as engaging. But it's also this thing where, it's engaging in the way of like, oh, cool, I made you the baby bird. And then it's like, I don't, there's a whole, there's so many costumes and little toys for it to play with and stuff that I was just like,
you can put a bow tie on it.
Sure. Yeah. And but it's like, you have all these recipes to make and all these different things that it, I feel like in a way there's a lot of fat on it, where there's like, okay, cool, you can make all these different treats that'll give you plus charisma or this, that, or the other. And it's like,
what do you use those for?
Exactly. I used it for to get a better deal on the dragon helm I bought at the very end just to get the trophy. Like, I wasn't, the gameplay itself was never, you need to be doing this or here's how you're going to balance it. Like, I wasn't even making treats most of the time because I didn't feel like I needed to heal the bird up beyond its halfway point and stuff. It's a cool game. It's a good game. It's somewhere in the sevens of... this is what it is, and it's something to do.
And it's an easy platinum. I want to talk about platinum. More easy platinums. Oh, but sure. First, I want to let you know about our sponsors. Shout out to Upstart. Applying for a loan is a lot like applying for a job that you don't get to interview for. Instead, loan companies make their decisions based off of your credit score and history without getting to know the whole you. Now, thanks to Upstart.com, it's never has to be that way again. Upstart is revolutionizing the way that you borrow money by rewarding you for your job experience and education in the form of a smarter interest rate. This is great. It could have totally helped us when we were first starting off. It's kind of funny. I know there's a lot of people out there that are starting podcast companies, starting video production stuff, starting just anything when it comes to video game journalism or whatever you want to call it. And Upstart can definitely help you there. Unlike traditional credit underwriting, which could be biased against people with short credit history, Upstart goes beyond the traditional stuff when assessing your credit worthiness. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in less than 2 minutes without affecting your credit score. And the best part is once it's all approved, it happens within a day. Within 24 hours, you can be getting the money. It's fantastic. Over 100,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, fund their wedding, or to make large purchases. See why Upstart's ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/kindoffunny to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes 2 minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. upstart.com/kindoffunny. And thank you to Warby Parker. Thanks to Warby Parker for supporting the Kind of Funny podcast. Warby Parker makes high quality, stylish, and affordable glasses that start at only $95, including prescription lenses. Plus, lenses include anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings. Blue light filtering lenses are also now available. For every pair of glasses sold, Warby Parker distributes a pair of glasses to someone in need, and they make buying glasses online easy and risk-free with their home try-on program. The home try-on program allows you to order 5 pairs of glasses shipped directly to your door, where you can try them on in the comfort of your own home and get feedback from friends, family, colleagues, or all the best friends out there. Because guess what? I did exactly this. I need some glasses. I've been wearing the same glasses for way too long, over a decade at this point, and they went out of style. I mean, I don't even know if they were in style when I first got them, if I'm being completely honest with you. But they make this easy. They send you the box. You get to go online. You choose out the styles that you want, and you can put them on. Here it is. You get to ask around, see what's going on with your friends. Then, if you need help from them, you let them know. You can order them, send them back if you need, kick up your feet. They're going to come to you, and you're going to be looking good and being able to see well. Which frames are my favorite? Let's see. Right now, we got these 5. I need to ask you. Let's try a couple on. This is number 1. Let's put them on, see what you guys think, all right? I want to see in the comments below. Do you like these? I don't know. Option number 1. Let me know in the comments. Let's go straight to option number 3, a.k.a. the Anthony Carbonis. Putting these guys on. Ow! I pinched myself. That was my bad.
They're growing on me, Tim.
Am I cool enough to pull this off?
No, but
only
like,
you. Only you can let me know. I don't trust Kevin. You know what I mean? And then the final pair, number, I'm going number five for these. Let me know if this is your, if this is your bet. Boom. Number five. Vote below and let me know. I'll get back to them. We'll see what's up, and I'll keep you guys updated on my journey to find my better glasses. Try Warby Parker out for yourself and see how good you look in their frames. Go to warbyparker.com/kinda to order your own free home try-on kit with free shipping all around. That's to you and back if you don't like them. That's warbyparker.com/kinda. Be sure to type lowercase K-I-N-D-A. So that's warbyparker.com/kinda. All lowercase. And if you have an iPhone 10 like I do, be sure to download the Warby Parker app and try their new virtual try-on, allowing you to try on eyeglasses, seeing the realistic color, texture, and size of each style just using your phone. That's awesome. I cannot wait to do that when I get home. But yeah, check it out. These are all the ones I'm looking at. Let me know which ones you think I should stick with, or go to warbyparker.com and tweet at me at Tim Geddes. Let me know which ones you think that I should try on in the next round that I do. All right. Love you. Now, Greg, back to you real quick.
I just put it down as what? Shitty game for easy platinum?
I have it down. My note is Greg's shitty platinum game.
Right. So it was super weekend mode.
But let me take a step back here. Devin, are you familiar with what platinuming a game means?
No.
So in PlayStation games, there's platinum, there's trophies, all right? Mm-hmm. It's achievements on Xbox.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, so you go through. Platinuming is you get all of the trophies in the game, right?
I've never done that.
Neither.
You haven't lived.
Most people haven't.
I've only gotten one, so don't worry about it.
What was it in?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, well deserved.
My only platinum.
That's a good one. But Greg is obsessed with this.
Yes. Do you have lots of platinums?
I do have lots of platinums.
It's a problem. It's a big problem.
How many do you have?
So
I'm
much
at 82
so.
Right now.
Oh, 82?
82 platinums.
Yeah. That's nothing. Mark Freeman watches the show. He's like, what, 146?
I thought somebody wrote the in and Prince has like Josh Grav out there.
Josh Grav killing it too, huh?
Didn't somebody write in to you and Gary's show with like over 180?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, like Mark Freeman's the one.
So these people
like,
are crazy. But the thing is, most of the time, people that are into this are like, I'm going to do it for the games that I love.
Right.
And then there's some people that are a little more dedicated. They're like, I'll do the games I love, but I'll also do the games that are kind of easy. That like I'm working on or whatever.
I'm going to get the platinum in your game.
Greg's one of the worst type of people where there are many different developers out there that make games that are so shitty and so bad, but their sole purpose is they're an easy platinum. And they prey on the dollars of people like Greg Miller. Greg, tell me about your latest shitty platinum game.
This is Super Weekend Mode, made or at least published by, because I'm looking at the... No, okay, yeah. It's Ratalakia Games. You ever heard of these guys?
Uh-uh.
You have, because it's Super Destroy Onat, right? Another DX, that other crappy platinum one I had done. There's one other one I can't see at a glance, but like I've played their games. Jack and Jill DX. Remember that?
Can we see
Jack
this game,
and
Kevin?
Jill
is that possible?
DX.
Right, yeah.
Was it Super Weekend?
Super Weekend Mode.
Super weekend mode. Okay.
Here's your platinum walkthrough. It takes 5 minutes.
Whoa.
So yeah, this is the game. If you're not looking at it on the screen right now, imagine like an arcade setup in terms of the vertical screen here. Hearts are falling, and then you are independently controlling two little ships / bumpers that you need to shoot the boss with and collect hearts with. If a heart touches the ground, or eventually it gets a little bit harder here, don't worry, Tim, you get hit by some of the skulls falling or the dust bunnies, then you lose a life and you have to do it. But as...
trophy earned. There you go.
As Ray Navarez pointed
popping,
out,
dude.
As he put out on his Twitter the other day, it took him less than 5 minutes to do this, like 4:50.
I saw you do this yesterday.
5 minutes?
And you were doing it at our desks in the back. Yeah. And like this is very hard to explain to people that don't know our setup, which is very few people. But we have these little capture devices for when we do party modes. And I saw you playing off of that, but I was so confused. I thought you were playing Tetris 99 on the Switch.
Sure.
Because I was like, what's going on?
That's a really
that looks
game.
Insane. And I just kept looking over at you. Did you not realize until right now you were playing this piece of shit.
Yeah, that's right. It was.
Do you feel good about yourself?
I feel great about it. And the best part is I busted out the Vita last night, started charging it because it's one of those cross-buy games. They know what they're doing.
How much was it?
$5. Actually, with PlayStation Plus, it was $3.99
for that game right there.
Yeah.
$3.99.
So they're just going after giving you the platinum.
Hell yeah. Two platinums
that's
for
all
$4.
They know, man.
$2 a platinum? I'm in.
Wow.
And that's the
wow
thing.
Is right.
It's the thing. Obviously, I've known about Retali Ali Alka games that I can never say.
So your platinum's did. A legit platinum, right?
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I have the Horizon one. I have the I'm working on my Division
Greg
one.
Greg has many, many legit platinums. But he puts the time.
I
He's got
that.
The Destiny 2 platinum, and I never put that time in.
There you go.
I was like, see? I ain't messing with that warlock chump. Not happening.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's they have they just know what they're doing. And like you look at their
they
website,
know what they're
right?
Doing.
Like here's all their games, and they're showing you their PlayStation and Vita. Like you know what I mean? It's PS4 and Vita, which means they're cross buy.
Which means
both.
That if you have both a PlayStation 4 and a Vita, you can get two platinums if you do it twice.
And the best news
so
is
they
too,
really know what
so,
they're doing.
So, and the other
they're
thing about it that we got to give them credit for, on top of the fact they're doing this, they're putting out games that have easy platinums, that they're putting out cross buy games that have easy platinums. They also put them out in Europe as well. And as you know, Tim, you can put out a game that has a shared trophy list so that if I played it in any region, I would get all the trophies. They're smart enough that they do it where they've forced PlayStation to give them another trophy list. So if I wanted to, and you're goddamn right I'm going to at some point, I can go in on my Game Over Greggy UK account, buy these games, download them to my PlayStation 4, then log out, log back in as my regular Game Over Greggy account, play them again for 5 minutes, get all the trophies again. I'm looking at the possibility here, ladies and gentlemen, of 3 Platinums in Super Weekend Mode. Are you kidding me right now?
Wow.
What a time to be alive.
3, not 4?
Well, no, I don't want to, like, the Vita works differently in terms of if I'm going to bop in and do that. Yeah, come on, don't be crazy.
No, okay.
That
would be ridiculous.
Don't be crazy, Tim.
That would be ridiculous.
The Vita doesn't allow multiple logins, so I'd have to hard wipe the Vita and go in, log in his Game Over Greggy, download it, and then go back. And it just wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't work. Unless I'm missing something, because if I'm missing something, let me know. No, Vita TV works the same way, yeah. Well, I don't think I'm missing anything, but kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, we won't look at right now.
Andrew, please tell me, save me from this nonsense. Dangerous driving, how's that?
It's a lot of fun, Tim. So it's an homage to the early Burnout games. Did you ever play the Burnout racing games?
Yep.
So the team that used to work on that Criterion has moved on within EA to focus on Need for Speed and other new IPs that they're working on for Electronic Arts. And some of the key members that worked on the Burnout series left to form a very small company called Three Fields Entertainment. And they have now published Dangerous Driving. They've published a couple other games as well. Dangerous Golf. They had the Danger Zone, which is the crash mode previously from Burnout. And so this is really an homage to arcade racing games from the 80s and 90s. And I always want to lead with that because I kind of have gotten into some back and forth with some folks about the style and feel of this game. This is not designed to be like the next big thing in the Burnout franchise, right? This is not Burnout Paradise. This is primarily focusing on a single player mode. They're adding a 6-player online multiplayer mode in like a month or so, or maybe I'm getting that timing wrong. They did say post-launch. The game came out this week. It's $26.99 and it's a ton of fun. It's the road rage mode is like the takedown mode that I loved so much, where you crash in and you try to make other cars crash. When you do crash a wreck, the wreck stays persistent on the course. So if you're in the first lap and you wreck a bunch of people, you have to like dodge their wrecks in subsequent laps, which I thought was a really nice touch. They have added Spotify Premium integration. So if you have a Spotify Premium account, you can link it and then you can just listen to your music while you're racing.
That's great.
And then they've created some custom playlists to go with
that's
it.
That's really cool.
Which I thought was a really fun feature.
So custom playlists using Spotify or
use.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That seems like a weird legal loophole.
Sort of, but not really, because by making it a Spotify Premium integration, you have to pay for access, and all of the music licenses are then run through Spotify, and that's how they were able to afford it. Because
so are artists still, if you listen to the song in the game, then artists would be getting paid for this.
Because it's technically streaming through Spotify.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, because they're a really small team. 7 people made this game. And so they didn't have the funds to put in all the bells and whistles that you would get in a normal Burnout game, and including doing, you know, an original soundtrack. And so they said, how are we going to get around this? You know, we have to make a lot of sacrifices in the feature set, because they're using this to hopefully build towards a bigger thing down the road. And so when I talked to Alex Ward about it, one of the creators of the game, he said that this was like the easiest thing for them. And I followed up with him afterwards and said, well, I don't have a Spotify Premium account. I have a Google Play Premium account. Like, are you guys going to add additional integrations? And he said, we're looking at it. You know, we're having some discussions, but right now Spotify Premium is the one integration. But we don't really see other games doing this. So
yeah, no,
I imagine that it'll be something that they do down the line for sure.
That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah, there's a bunch of different modes. There's like over 27 cars across like four different classes or six different classes. And all of the tracks are set in different national parks around the United States, which is kind of neat. And yeah, it's fun. It's a bunch of fun. If you love arcade racing from the 80s and 90s like I do, I think that you'll enjoy your time with Dangerous Driving.
What platforms is it on?
It's on Steam, PS4, and Xbox One, I believe. Let me double check, but pretty sure it's on everything.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see this start getting a lot of attention. You know what I mean? Because I remember they had reached out, and it didn't work out, but they had reached out for the game showcase in December that they were looking into getting into it. And I was like, oh, man, the game looks awesome, but I forget why. It just didn't work out if they didn't have anything at the moment, but whatever. But, yeah, I know Gary's super into this right now. I've seen a lot of people tweeting about it. A lot of people have just been ready for another Burnout.
Yeah,
so it's cool to see it come back in some way, shape, or form.
What makes me really excited about this is what they're going to do in the future, because I've been playing with it for several hours now, and while I'm really enjoying my time, there's clearly a lot missing. There's a lot of animations missing. The music is missing.
The Switch port's missing, sounds like.
The Switch, I mean, this would be perfect on Switch. I agree. A Switch port would be fantastic. I think that there's a lot of room for improvement, but what they have is still super fun. But I was talking to on DLC about this, and neither Jeff nor Christian really liked the game. And I kind of got into their face about it. I was like, well, you know, this isn't like a AAA, like $50 million game. Like, it's seven people making a small indie title that, you know, and they're building off of their experience from the past, from all of these racing games they used to do. And I hope that they sell a ton of it so that we can get like the true spiritual successor to Burnout.
Yeah, because Gary was talking about it, right? That, like, there's no native multiplayer, but they're talking about maybe one day, hopefully, being able to patch that in or do something with it.
No, they are. They've committed to it. Yeah, so they're working on a 6-person online multiplayer for racing and for road rage mode. So that's in the works right now. Currently, they just haven't given a date as to when they're going to patch that in. But that's coming. Yeah.
Cool.
Final game I want to hear about from you guys is Division. What's the update?
Tidal Basin.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
World Tier 5.
Yeah, man.
Devin, you playing the Division?
What's your gear score now?
Get on it. Start playing the Division 2. What's your problem?
You got a platinum in that?
I am going to platinum that. Yeah, but this is a good game. This is a hard game. This is like a real platinum. This is a real platinum.
Adult-ass game.
Yeah. To give you the breaking news, yeah. The conversation about Super Weekend Mode's easy platinum reminded me that I had emailed Radalika Games or whatever, looking to get a bunch of codes for their UK and North American library, and then I just hit them up on DM, and they're like, all about it. So I'm going to have all these ones soon. Don't worry about it, everybody.
Oh my gosh, you're
Division
so ridiculous.
2, though, I haven't touched it since we did Tidal Basin. Of course, Andrea, a real gamer, unlike the coward Fran Mirabella III.
That's what I've been saying for years.
Who did, in fact, wake up on Friday before I flew to New York. Woke up with me at 7 in the morning, 6. Well, woke up independently.
I was up at 5:30 that day.
Woke up that morning, and then at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., got on, and we ran Tidal Basin to open up World Tier 5.
Yep.
And it was glorious, Tim.
Yeah.
I love it. I tell you.
What's really exciting about running these strongholds are the hope that I have for the incoming raids. So the Division 2 third-person shooter set in the Tom Clancy universe is about the aftermath of a widespread infection outbreak that kind of crippled the United States government.
Yeah, bioterrorism.
And you play a Division agent from the Strategic Homeland Division, which is like a private underground operation that reports directly to the president. Mm-hmm. And so you've been activated as a Division agent to go in and try to restore the chaos that's happening in Washington, D.C. And so, like, one of your first missions is to, like, take back the White House. You storm the Capitol building. You rescue the Declaration of Independence from the National Archives. It was, like, there's a ton of really cool mission design
in
this game.
A bunch of different factions that are trying to take over. Like, right in the
so it's end like a power
of,
grab,
in,
right?
Exactly. In the vacuum of the government being able to do is everything's fallen. Right. Now there's all these warring factions to rule D.C.
Oh, cool.
But I really love Tidal Basin. What's my gear score? I still haven't played since that Friday morning because we went to New York. We came back. I wanted to do Falcon Age. I'm playing something else now. It never stops the work of what you're going to play, what's going on.
But
I need to get in there before Raid get up.
Well, and they put out some new patch notes about an incoming patch on the subreddit and Greg.
I know.
Hold the presses.
Okay, ready?
They're adding red hair color, everybody.
Oh, man.
I wonder why.
Big red being added to the game.
Thank you, Julian. You heard my cries.
Yeah, I know. If we could give a shout out to Julian, of course.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's what? What's his? He's director of the entire game?
He's the creative director, yeah.
He's in charge of the entire thing. And I don't know about you. I nickel and dime this motherfucker in DMs all the time. Like, I'm like, and I'm like, I swear I'm not going to use you as tech support because I understand you run the entire thing. But this, like, I had a bug after Tidal Basin where we finished Tidal Basin. Everyone's in World Tier 5. I ran over to my workbench to upgrade it and start making stuff, and I couldn't upgrade it. And I was like, can you guys? You're like, yeah, we got to upgrade. And I'm like running through, and I'm like, I was trying to go to the airport. I was like, motherfucker. And sure enough, it's a known bug that's just like, fuck, they're fixing it. But it's like, I'm hitting him up and like, what about this? And what about, I'm like the annoying kid in class of like, hey, but I'm not asking my teacher. I'm going to the superintendent of all schools. Yeah. And being like, hey, the only way I can make it worse is if I was hitting up Yves Gaumont and being like, hey, my workbench doesn't work. How is that possible? Or whatever.
Oh, yeah, man.
But
I love
it's
that.
Fun. I'm at like $4.96 right now. Wait, what?
For the hair?
Red hair?
I mean, 100%. Yeah. So when we were in, so I went to several preview press events for the Division II. And at the last one that Greg and I went to together, we got a glimpse of the character customization. And there was no red hair color. And then I went to DC and checked again. And it still wasn't there. And so I pulled Julian aside and was like, yo, but why can I make my hair green in the game but not red?
Mm.
Because red's an actual color of people's hair.
So okay, like, people have green hair.
Yeah, but like not naturally.
Oh, sure, okay. Sure.
Right? Like you can make your hair purple, blue, or green in the game, but you can't make your hair red in the game. Winning and colors. I was like, WTF,
I mean, maybe
Julian.
The dollar flu wiped out all redheads. You know what I mean? Wow. Maybe that's another part of their lore. I haven't read the comics.
First ones to go.
First the weak immune system.
And so he's like, we'll put it in the game. And I was like, thank you. And now they're putting it in the game. And they're also putting a bald hairstyle in. So if you prefer to have no hair on your agent, that is coming as well. But there's a full list of all the patch notes over, like I said, on the Division subreddit, if you guys want to check that out. And then the raid goes live. The 8-person raid goes live on April 25th.
Can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Now, that's going to be another one, though. You understand? Because, of course, Greg Miller only has Greg Miller luck. Mm-hmm. Where, oh, great, they're dropping World Tier 5 the day I go to New York. Oh, great, they're dropping the raid the weekend I go home to Chicago for my stupid birthday. So, like, we got your April 25th. We might have to just call in sick to work, Andrea, and we got to just sit there and do it. You know
it's
what I mean?
Adventures Day.
I know. That's the other thing. There's so much happening.
So, but, we should like, just cancel the GameCast recording. We should just play the raid, is what you're saying.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Wait, because it's a Thursday, right? And that's when we're seeing it at 6:00, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It'll
Avengers.
All
work out. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
End game.
Yeah.
Are you in it?
No. Okay. Sorry.
No.
I asked him, is he in the movie?
I'm
Hawkeye.
Oh no! Do people mistake you for Jeremy Renner?
Yes, they do.
Oh my gosh.
Fantastic. So to close out the show, Devin.
Yeah.
We tweeted out on the Kind of Funny Vids account. We said, we're recording Gamescast later today with Devin Sawa. Send in any video game related questions you have for him. Mandy writes in and says, this is the content that I didn't know I needed.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Okay. It's happening. We got movies, beer. And I don't know if you know, do you know Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah.
Personally?
Of course. Yeah.
Great.
That whole feud was fake.
Okay, good.
That was all fake.
Good.
I mean,
the question is, if you're going to torture him, what horrible video game would you force him to play?
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know, Bubble Bobble from the...
NES, yeah.
What's wrong with Bubble Bobble? It's a classic. It's a great song.
That's pretty annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, imagine being having to play over and over and over again.
It's really, it's kind of just.
We did.
You know what? Because I used to go to this arcade as a kid, and that game was always turned up so loud.
Yeah, very loud and very repetitive.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That is good. Chris White says, if you could play any video game character in a motion picture, what character would it be and why?
Oh, Mega Man, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some live version of...
Okay. That'd be cool.
Okay. Live action Mega Man, yeah.
Into it. Mega Man.
And the last question for you here is, if Idle Hands was a party... game, what genre of game would it be?
It would be a platform game, and you would be the hand. And you would be running from us.
Sure, as you guys
I like
know.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been... The Kind of Funny Games cast. Devin, thank you very much for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you
not only for coming here, but going to cover going a game for Montreal. Kind of Funny.
No, that was bucket list check. That was so much fun.
You did it.
I'm glad you thought of me. And
of course.
I'm glad I went and did it. And that was a fun game, but it was just an amazing experience. And they treated me so nice. And you guys treated me so nice.
Good.
So
that was awesome.
It was awesome.
Stay tuned. You can find him on Kind of Funny's We Have Cool Friends debuting sometime in
after
May.
Game
after
of
Game of Thrones in review, which is happening, which starts Monday with Andrew Ray. Yeah.
Yes, and, Escape Plan comes out July 4th weekend, and the Moose this fall. Both
movies that you are in.
Movie The Escape Plan is Stallone and Batista, and that comes out.
You were in a movie with Batista?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. Another bucket list.
Very cool.
The other movie's in is Travolta.
50 Cent's in it. And then the one in the fall is
50 Cent's in it?
Yeah, 50 what? Cent's in it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's really cool. And then Travolta and I did a movie, a two-hander that comes out in the fall. Fred Durst directed it. And,
wow.
And
he knows Fred Durst too.
What?
Did you guys talk about this all in your episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like in depth about it, but I mean, we talked about
Fred Durst is a hell of a director. He really is as an artist, and I just saw it, and it's got an amazing soundtrack, and Travolta plays this like Rain Man-y kind of obsessed fan who kidnaps me and ties me to a bed, and it's creepy and
so
and
it's great. like Stan.
It's more like Misery.
Mm. Oh.
And more like Misery, but different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. Where can people follow you?
Devin
Esawa
on Twitter, and yes. That's it. And
there's an Instagram
too. D.Sawa on Instagram.
There you go.
So
fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, stay hyped.